everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Kelly O Show. Today on the show, I am very thrilled to have Janine Krause, and I was re-listening to the beginning part of this interview, and I remembered what a cool interview it was. Honestly, this woman is so smart, really knows her stuff. She is a naturopathic doctor on the West Coast out in Washington, and I learned so much in this episode, and that's the cool thing about being a podcast host is you get to learn along with the audience. And I can't tell you how many guests we've had on the show. Well, I truly feel like I learn from everybody who's been on this show. But this woman is, of course, no exception. And we talk a lot in this two-part interview. It's about 48 minutes. So I went ahead and had them divided up and make it a two-part episode. I think it's just easier to consume that way for so many of you. But a lot of what she's going to talk about is, you know, stuff, themes that we've been discussing for over a year now, which is becoming your own health advocate, learning about the kinds of questions that you need to be asking when you're seeing your regular primary doc, when you're seeing your OBGYN, and how to start really looking for the root causes of problems inside of us versus just saying, oh, you know, I've got a skin rash or some bumps. Let me figure out, you know, what pill I can take to get rid of those. Like, what's going on underneath the skin that's causing that? Or if I have a stomach ache or headaches, I mean, I'm mentioning some of my own issues that I've been dealing with, but a lot of you have written in. And if you have ongoing problems like that, instead of just trying to find a way to make that short-term symptom go away, it's time to really connect with what's going on bigger picture-wise. And of course, underneath the skin, right? What's going on inside of us that's causing these problems? And she's an exceptional woman who works with people all over the country and has helped so many folks figure out stuff that has really been, they haven't been able to find a solution for, you know, with traditional medicine. So I know you're going to learn a lot. I certainly think a lot of you will be seeking out her help. She does, you know, have online programs where you can work with her directly. But again, we talk quite a lot about nutrition, about mindfulness, about how to, you know, go deeper and how she helps clients, and certainly how you can start getting better at finding the root cause of your own health issues. Even if something has been bothering you for a long time, never fear. There are ways that you can start to attack those problems and look to a future without them. It is possible, take it from me, because I've certainly had this happen in my own life, and this is what I want for you. So sit back and enjoy. Again, this is a two-part episode. Make sure you listen to parts one and two, and enjoy this interview chat with Janine Krause. Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly O, and today on the show, I have the pleasure of having Janine Krause. Did I say your last name right?
Yes.
I did. Are you sure?
Absolutely. You guys, I really trip myself up. I'm my own worst enemy about last names because it's such a simple last name and I will look at it and go, oh, is it Krause? Is it Krause? Is it Krause? Will I say it wrong? And then I always ask them before the show, how do I say your last name? And then they tell me and then I get stage fright. So anyway, I'm just glad I said it correctly. Janine is a naturopathic doctor and we are going to be talking today about stress and how it affects our health. And you all know, if you've been following me a while on social media, if you have been listening to the show, you know I have definitely been calling your attention to this topic. All of us need to have more awareness of how stress can affect our bodies, our health, our longevity, everything. It can affect your hormones. I mean, it's such a bigger, it's a topic that needs more discussion because too many of us, we just go, like I used to years ago, oh, well, I'm always going to have a stressed out life. I'm always going to have stress. So you don't think you can quote unquote deal with it. But you absolutely can. It's not that you can find a way to eliminate stress, but it's how you deal with it. And understanding the impact stress can have on your health is, you know, of utmost importance. So it's something I definitely want to talk about, which is why when Janine came across my radar, I'm like, yes, we need to talk about this. So Janine, welcome to the show. Are you ready to go?
Absolutely. Thanks, Kelly, for having me on.
I am thrilled to have you. And, you know, it's your first time on the show. I'm sure we'll be having you back. But, you know, I've already introduced you as a naturopathic doctor. And there's a lot of people listening who, you know, frankly, they won't even know what that means. You know, they're new to getting into anything but going to see their primary care doc. They're new to integrative medicine or alternative medicine or even things like chiropractic care or, you know, anything holistic. So if you can describe how you work with patients and what led you to be doing this for your primary method of making your income. How did you come to do this and how do you work with your patients?
All right. So I actually started thinking about becoming a naturopath when I was 15 years old. My mom had cancer. And we have the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, which they say Chicago, but it's really on the north side of the city, almost to the Wisconsin border up where I grew up. And I met my mom's naturopathic doctor up there and I thought, oh, this is pretty cool. He's got herbs, he's got homeopathic medicines, he's got all these different tricks. And the conventional docs are just like, here's your chemo, how's mm-hmm. things going? So I thought that was pretty cool. Then she started seeing an acupuncturist who would really take me on and show me all of the different points and what they all meant. And I'm going, wow, this is cool. There's all these different things that I had no idea could help with our health. So fast forward 13 years of practice now, I am still a naturopath, still going forward with things. And yeah, I'll out myself, I'm 41 years old and still loving it today. So how do I practice? Well, couple different things that I'll tell you a little bit about naturopaths. Naturopaths are trained very similar to conventional medical docs. We have to take board exams. We have to have our pre-med requisites to get into naturopathic medicine school. But the difference is that we have over a year of training in counseling, so we can communicate a little bit better with folks on very, very, you know, diverse levels. Hmm. Also have more nutrition. So we have over a year of nutrition training, even whole foods cooking. So we get to get in a kitchen and cook. So nice. By the time you graduate from naturopathic school, if you didn't know how to cook going in, you know how to do it coming out. So super useful. And then we also have extensive training over the course of the 4 years of herbs. So this is something that a conventional doc's just not going to have in their training. Where we differ compared to a conventional doc is we don't have all of the emergency medicine background. And we do take pharmacology, but not to the extent of learning about all of the medications out there. So we do have to do a little bit more of our own research, but you know, new medications come on board every year. So I'm constantly trying to keep up in that realm because you have to know what herbs interact with what types of medications. So mm-hmm. I myself, in my practice, I'm trying to help folks connect to their bodies a little bit better. trying to have them look at their symptoms and connect to what's happening in their life, which is why I like to work with stress, because a lot of symptoms are a result of how stress is affecting our body. So my practice is very, let's sit down, let's chat about everything that you are experiencing, and let's try to connect those dots and figure out what exactly is the root, what exactly is the problem, and how can we link everything together to get you some results. So much like Inspector Gadget, that's what I do with my patients, try to figure things out and also help patients to really advocate for themselves. Because one of the biggest problems we have here in the US in particular is that we have a broken medical system where the docs that see you on a conventional basis usually don't have much time to see you. So coming prepared with information and questions is huge, because now we're giving a lot of data. And so a lot of times what I do with patients too is if we are seeing multiple docs, so say someone has a little bit more of a complicated case, they have their primary care doc, they have a specialist, and then they have me, I'm making sure that they are armed with all the information possible to be able to take to their other practitioners so that we can all work together as a team. So my goal is help folks figure out themselves a little bit better, connect better with themselves, but also at the same time, work on self-advocating and making sure we are getting them results and getting them where they want to be.
Oh my God. Everything you said, I'm so glad you said it, because, you know, for some people, they're just starting to listen to our show. They haven't listened to past episodes where I certainly have shared that everything you just said is what I have learned. And I learned it, like I think many people have to do, the hard way, which is traditional medicine can fail you. And this isn't to, you know, on some hand, it's easy to get very angry when you start to have problems and you seek alternative care and you get success there. It's very easy to get very angry. I did at traditional medicine, right? Because you feel that you've wasted all of these years. On the other hand, I think it's good to look at the big picture and realize, you know, all of these doctors who are treating you, they're treating you the way that they've been trained, the way that they went to medical school. Those years and generations of the way doctors have been trained and what they've been taught in school, it's going to take a while to unravel that and for all of those doctors to go and get different types of training. I interviewed somebody earlier today who, you know, again, he started as a traditional OBGYN and then he went out and got his PhD, went out and pursued, you know, integrative medicine, studied with Dr. Weil, however you say his last name. I'm sure I'm butchering that one too. But not everybody has the perspective that someone like yourself has. So I love everything you said, because this is what I learned. I learned that I needed to be comfortable going to some traditional docs, my primary care, and pushing back and saying, this doesn't sound right. There's something wrong. I'd like to have blood work done. Can you do this? I mean, here's the deal, people. If you're paying somebody, if you're paying a doctor, an OBGYN, you know, any kind of practitioner, they work for you. You don't need to be scared or feel like you're being inappropriate by asking questions. And I also love that you brought up the point that, I mean, it's frustrating as a patient when you go and you're literally given 10 or 15 minutes with a doctor. That doesn't give that doctor a lot of time to sit down and find the root cause. And the truth is, you know, there's some people that don't understand this. Those doctors aren't trained to find the root cause. They're trained to treat the symptoms. Maybe you can, you know, there's some people that get that, but for those that don't, they're like, well, what do you mean? That's why I go. I go to the doctor. If something hurts me, if I have a skin rash, I want medicine to make it better. But what's the difference between, maybe you can explain this, what's the difference between going to a doctor for a skin rash and having him give you antibiotics that'll make that skin rash potentially go away? Or what would be the way that you would work with somebody that would come to you with a skin rash that is just driving them crazy? It's itching and they don't know what caused it.
Good question. So typically when it's a skin rash and they're super itchy, you want to get them out of the main symptoms right away because that's what's nagging them. But at the same time, I'm going to go, okay, so is it that we need an antibiotic? Is it that we need maybe an antifungal? Is it an allergy of some sort? Is it food allergies? You know, so I'm going to go in and go, okay, let's see what the problem is. Even parasites can be notorious for causing skin rashes.
Really?
Yes, especially if they cycle. So sometimes people have some skin rashes and they're like, yeah, my rash is weird. It's like every 3 to 4 days it flares. It's like good and I think it's gone and then it comes back up. So that's just a side tidbit there.
Well, I'm also selfishly, I brought it up because one of the things so I might be a patient of yours coming up soon, because one of the things that has, the first sign for me that happened when my body started changing hormonally right around age 39 was just, and I was going through a divorce at the time too. So, you know, several doctors have said, oh, it's stress. Some thought it was folliculitis. I've always gotten these rock hard bumps on my neck and the back of my neck. And to this day, no doctor really has a firm hold on what they are, but they come and go and no medicine has been able to get rid of it. No change in diet. Nobody knows what they are. They're not pimples and they drive me crazy and they scarred up my whole neck. And so sometimes when I ask, I bring that up because I've come to look at it as, you know, it's tied to my neck pain. I don't know. I don't know what else to say, but we do have a lot of people who write into the show and they talk about one of their main stressors is skin conditions, you know, just unexplainable sudden rashes, hives, skin bumps. A lot of women have had the same thing I have, bumps on their neck and chest. And so that's probably why it's top of mind. But yeah, I was selfishly asking that for myself as well. Continue.
Well, good question. You know, when it's related, when we start changing with hormones, I also got to go, okay, let's look at your hormones. What's going on there? Because when progesterone levels start to drop in ladies, we will tend, and guys too, actually, I don't know why I see a lot more ladies. Let's put it that way. So when progesterone starts to drop, we will tend to have issues with histamine. And there's actually some really interesting things that I found over the years with progesterone-related rashes. And yeah, so hormones could be a huge factor out there for folks who are struggling with different types of rashes. Food stuff, like you mentioned, you know it's not related to any food. That's always a big deal too. But I often will go back and go, okay, you know, if we have something that is skin, I'm always going to try to get the symptoms down a little bit because let's face it, our skin's tied to our confidence in how we interact with the world. And I could be the most traditional naturopath and be like, nope, we're not going to do anything. We're going to find it all, you know, exactly what that cause is in that case, which we will, but it takes some time. As you've noticed, no one's figured it out as of yet. But at the same time, trying to figure something out topically that could help keep it at bay or at least calm things a little bit so you're not self-conscious or you're not being bugged by the rash, because some folks with rashes, they itch intensely and we're affecting sleep and other things that can help them to feel better. Mm-hmm. So going down the lines of the big bumps that can have some scarring, I think I'd have to ask you a ton more detail on it because skin is, it's a bugger. A lot of people will tell you that. But in particular, it's going back to having you do a little bit of a journal for a little time to kind of connect with what is the missing link here? Mm-hmm. What is happening with these guys and where they're located? If it's back of the neck, I also think about, gosh, you know, could it be the lymphatic system in there? And could we have reactivated mono that popped up with?
And I did have mono when I was younger.
Okay. So did anyone check you for reactivated mono?
No.
Okay. That's one thing that's really a common factor for a lot of folks. With stress, we can't keep all of our viruses that we have in the body. The herpes virus family lives in the body. Mono is one of them. And it just hangs out. And we keep it at bay until the immune system drops. And sometimes the immune system drops when we're going into menopause. And sometimes the immune system drops with stress, things of that nature. So it can be very interesting to see if you have some reactivated mono, meaning that your mono virus titers are elevated. So that would be one thing to look at, because a lot of times when I have big lumps coming up on the back of someone's neck, I think about mono. And is it coming back on a little level? Kind of not like when you first got it, but later.
Wow. I have never in all the times of talking to anybody had anybody bring that up ever. I'm definitely going to look into this. And, you know, this kind of goes back to what you said when you were first talking about how you work with your patients. You know, it sounds like a lot of people who come to you are also, you know, and I always joke and say, you know, I've got my own pit crew. When I'm taking care of myself right, I've got a pit crew for Kelly Alexa. I've got like my chiropractor, I've got my therapist, I've got my massage lady, I've got my, of course, my superficial Botox lady, I've got, you know, my primary doctor who does my hormones, and all of these people talk with one another, you know, my business coach, right? So they each know what the other person's doing, and it helps, and my personal trainer, right? So all of these people are working with me, but they also know what the other people are doing or guiding me on. And they're all helping me get this body, this person that's Kelly Alexa, optimized to be doing better things. And it sounds like you work with people who are going to, you know, take your advice, like me. I could take what you just said. And I, for everybody listening, she didn't know I was going to bring up my own problems. We didn't plan that. But hey, you know, a lot of you have said you suffer from very similar symptoms to what I had. And this is why. So just what you heard us talking about here, that's what we're talking about when we say getting to the root of the problem. And I love that you brought up, you know, a journal, because I think that is one of the basic practices that so many people, when you first say that to them, whether it is a trainer or a nutritionist or a doctor like yourself who's going to say, keep a journal, you know, people will go, oh, I'm not going to keep a journal. Right. I did. I said that when someone told me to keep a journal because I couldn't lose weight. And I thought, I know what I'm eating. Well, guess what? When I actually sucked it up and started keeping a food journal, I was eating too much. And a journal of any kind, tracking, I don't think any of us track what we do or what's going on in our lives nearly enough. Is that something that you pretty much have all of your patients do so that they can start seeing patterns?
Yes, absolutely. It's where we start. A lot of people actually, because they've listened to a lot of my podcasts, come in with their journal, which I love so much. But yeah, we literally that, I mean, I have to do a little motivational interviewing, you know, pep talks on the journal, because you're right. Most people roll their eyes, look at me like I am the craziest person in the world. And if they commit to doing it a little bit, even if they don't give me a full 2 weeks, you know, or a month or whatever, we at least have some data. And most folks, once they do it for a little bit, will be like, holy cow, I didn't know this happens when I do this. Huh. And the more they find out about themselves, the more they're hooked. Because let's face it, everyone's favorite subject is themselves. So if you start diving more into yourself and really embrace it, you're going to find some cool stuff out about yourself. And who doesn't love that?
Yeah. And I will say, when I finally embrace this, I mean, this should give a lot of you ladies out there, if you're insecure. I mean, so many of us start paying attention to our health when, you know, for example, when we gain weight and when we can't control the things that we used to always be able to control. We gain weight, our hormones start getting out of balance, everything gets out of whack, and then we're in this reactive mode. We want to fix everything. But one of the things that I can tell you is that when you start treating, I say it this way, when you start treating like your body like you're a science project and you're going to study yourself, and that's the way you should in a way look at yourself, is, you know, you're a body that is capable of so much, but there are things that have to be tweaked. You know, it's like when somebody gets a car that's not working, that guy's going to try to figure out what the problem is. He's going to try a few things. It might be the tires. It might be the brake fluid. I don't know anything about cars, clearly. I'm just throwing some shit out there and seeing what makes sense. But you really have to try to figure things out and test and tweak. But the more that you can look at yourself like, hey, I'm a body, I've got all these moving parts, something's going to work. Something is going to be the right recipe for this body. It offers a level of detachment. So it doesn't seem as personal. Like for me, when I was so insecure and I felt like I was in a body that wasn't working, it was emotionally hard for me to, you know, go into getting treated or trying to get healthy again, because I didn't believe I could fix anything. Whereas studying myself and going, okay, I'm going to start tracking. And then you start to see patterns, and you start to see, even when you think you're not losing weight, you start to measure yourself and you see, oh, I'm losing inches. Then you're detached, because you realize like, okay, it's not just the weight on the scale. I'm tracking, you know, how my clothes fit. I'm tracking, you know, this tracking is such a beautiful thing, because there's so many of us who aren't seeing progress, and tracking not only can unveil things that we're missing that we can address and fix, but can also unveil things that we're missing, like, hey, I'm making progress and I didn't even realize it. What do you, when you have people start to journal, what do you have them track? Because there's a lot they could be tracking. What would somebody start to track? Are they tracking everything they eat? Are they tracking their weight? Are they tracking how they feel? Are they tracking what happened at work? What do you have them track?
So it's going to be individual for what we're working with, but hands down, everyone in my universe is going to be tracking what they eat, because food is so vital to what's happening, in addition to hydration. Because I find that a lot of issues come with not drinking enough water. Seems super simple, and a lot of people are like, I drink enough water, but when you write it down, sometimes you're a little disturbed.
As I grab my water bottle and chug some more.
Right. Cue for everyone who's listening to grab some water.
Seriously, I just did that because I was drinking my energy drink. It's an all-natural energy drink, I will say that, so it's not the bad one. But I'm literally, because when she said that, my first thought was, that's been my challenge, is hydration. So you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not an uncommon struggle. Even with me, when I get busy with patients, I've got to like remind myself, drink water, because it's an easy thing to forget. So I'm always putting that down. I'm also having people put down what other things they drink, because coffee, energy drinks, things of that nature can have different effects. Bubbly water, which is a very popular thing these days with the LaCroix waters and all of those guys, a lot of folks are turning to that instead of sodas, but sometimes that can mess with you a little bit too. So I make notes. I have people make notes on that. I also have folks look at mood, energy throughout the day. And then we kind of track based on the main symptom. And so if we are looking at, let's go with skin, because that's an easy one to use as an example. I'm having folks write at in the morning, okay, what's skin doing? Quick check-in. All right, great. Then there's like a lunch. What's happening? Anything weird or strange? More itchy, more this, more that. And of course, when you get symptoms, you got to track that. So I ate cashews and then I was slightly itchy. Okay, note that. And then in the evening, I do another check-in. Does the skin look flared? Does it look better? What's going on? Any new locations? So it's kind of working to connect the mind with what happens during the day. Another big thing with skin is environment. I also have people tell me in terms of itch factor, redness factor, just swelling factor, in terms of hives, things of that nature. Is it worse at home? Is it better at home? Worse at work? Because we have molds and things of that nature that can cause trouble, and environmental allergies such as the pollens and things too. So is it a time of day that's worse, or is it a certain type of weather that's worse? So the tracking depends on the individual. If I was going to be looking at stress, for example, since stress is affecting us in crazy amounts of ways, I also will have folks put down what do they feel like in the morning? Where's the stress level? And I make it, you know, a time in terms of, not time, but a numbers in terms of 0 to 10, 10 being the worst stress. Where are we at? If that doesn't work, we do emojis. So faces. Emojis factor tends to work really well for a lot of folks, because I get emojis like the little poop ones. You know, I feel like this. All right, great. That tells me information. It's looking at where is stress at, so I can track where is the highest level of stress during the day. And if I tie that back to skin, it's also looking at, you know, does high levels of stress affect the skin too? So I'm looking at a lot of factors, but hands down, if someone's listening to this and going, I want to get to know my body a little bit better, one of the best ways is to start tracking what you drink, what you eat, your environment, how you feel, and energy levels, like morning, evening, morning, afternoon, evening. Note that, note sleep. That'll give you a really good idea of what's happening on a baseline, and then tailor it towards your specific problem. If it's skin, track what's going on with your skin along with the food, environment, sleep, et cetera. And then we build from there depending on what I'm connecting in terms of dots. And sometimes we don't have to connect anything else. We get data. Just depends. Just got to start tracking the data.
Being more proactive, I think, and long-term, looking long-term versus reactive, and I had this problem, make it go away in 5 seconds, which is, you know, I love that phrase that I've heard several people bring up recently, like we're the microwave society. We want everything done in 30 seconds, you know?
Thanks everybody for listening in. This marks the end of part one of this two-part episode with Janine Krause. Please make sure you tune into part two.